Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, but there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. Mr. Alan Friedman is our guest, as I promised you. Alan is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of The Internet Glossary and Quick Guide Reference and the Computer Desktop Encyclopedia, which is the newest version, the online and the digital version of this book, which he continues to produce. And he's our good friend. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Let's have a good 2008 together. What do you think?
I'd like to have that. That would be very nice.
Let's do that. I think you know what? I think you and I are just the guys to do that. What do you think?
Yeah, we're going to change the world, huh?
There you go. that's the story I'm sticking to, aren't you?
Sure. I think we all do in our own way.
Well, we can, can't we?
Yes, we can.
No, I think we can. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, I do. I believe what Henry Ford said.
What did he say?
He said, "If you think you can, or if you think you can't, either way, you're right."
That's correct. No, I believe that firmly. I think we are in control of our lives. We just don't know it.
And one of the things that happens, Alan, and that I think is happening right now, and I'd like your thoughts on this, is how much we seem to be talking ourselves into a negative economic situation. What do you think?
Well, I think that's always the way it is. I mean, because everything in this, and I believe in this existence, is our own creation. It's our own illusion, if you will, We can have it any way we want. We know it's a matter of just opinion and attitude.
Well, you know, there are fundamentals in the marketplace right now that are a little dangerous, that are a little sketchy, a little bit volatile.
But we have the ability to
make them go in a good way or a bad way. And
right.
the more we talk about it in a negative way and we don't recognize the power that we have to overcome these things, and all we do is talk about, you know, what could happen if this turns bad, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it?
Well, that's true. And we also have a strange attitude about cycles in this world. You know, the real world is cyclical. Things go up, things go down. But we have a one-way approach to life that doesn't sort of follow nature, if you will. You know, we should be sort of, in a sense, preparing for down cycles and treating them just as much as we do up cycles, and realize that they are natural.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, that's what I said Monday. I was talking about this Monday on the show, just me and my audience. And the point that I was making, Alan, is I said, okay, people are saying, you know, what if we're going into a recession? The point I made is, guess what, folks? We may already be in one. We may not know that we were in one until we're out of it.
So if that's the case,
what difference does it make?
Exactly.
And here's one more thing before I'll let you comment on this. I'm planning on being in business a year from now after the recession, if we have one. Aren't you?
Yes.
So what? So what does it matter?
Well, it is psychology. I agree with you 100% on that, Jim.
One of the news media is, the national news media is talking about this a lot. There's CNBC spends a lot of time talking about this thing. They use the R word all the time. And Holman Jenkins wrote an article, and I like to say in this, he wrote an article a while back. He was talking about another issue, but he introduced the term to me called availability cascade.
Never heard of that one.
And that's where the more you hear it in the media, the more you believe it.
Ah, oh, I believe that. That's definitely true. I mean, where do we get our information?
Right, right. So be careful. And the other thing is, Alan, a lot of times people think that the stock market is the economy, and it isn't, is it?
Yeah, only if you if it's your stock that went down or up.
But, you know, if you think about it, remember when we had the big crash of 87? We didn't even have a recession after that.
Now, I remember that very well. I was sitting in a broker's office watching it and him telling me this has never happened before. I said, really? Yeah. I'm witnessing history. How about that?
Well, and it was dicey, and it was exciting and dangerous for a little while there, but the economy didn't even go into a recession over all that.
No, it didn't.
So, you know, let's not
but
get
also,
too
But also, look how many recessions we've lived through.
Exactly.
In our lifetimes.
And notice how much easier each one is getting.
That's a point.
Think about that. Stand by, Alan. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about a little tussle, a little wrestling match between two different brands and how this has been going on now for over 20 years. And we'll do that right after these messages. Alan is the expert in this area. 2012, stay with us.
To see you back again. How long has it been?
Hi, Jim. Renee Grant Williams here, author of Voice Power, Using Your Voice to Captivate, Persuade, and Command Attention, something you certainly do. I want to congratulate you on your first decade anniversary. I look forward to being part of your show for many, many more years to come. All the best to you and Devonna.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Alan Friedman, editor-in-chief of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia. And Alan, give us your website, please.
It's computerlanguage.com, Jim.
And that's where they can find the Computer Desktop Encyclopedia, can't they?
Yes, sir.
And I'm trying to find my latest version here. I've got it somewhere. Here it is. What is it? What do we got here now? We got...
You should have 20.4.
That's what I've got right in front of me. Exactly.
Well, then that's the latest.
I'm in good shape then. All right.
Yep.
Which I appreciate very much. Alan, about 27 years ago, I bought a computer, a PC, although they weren't called that in those days, I don't think. I bought a PC in about 1980 or 81. Guess who I bought it from? Guess which company I bought it from? You'll never guess.
In 81?
Uh-huh, 81. 80 or 81.
Well, the only things that were out there at that time were there were a lot of CPM machines. The IBM PC came out that year, and the Apple II was out there.
I bought a Xerox machine. I had a Xerox computer.
A Star?
I had the original Xerox computer. It was a piece of, you know what? It was awful. I worked for Xerox in those days. I sent the thing back. It was so bad, I sent it back. But this was before. This was really one of the forerunners of all the PCs. Then about 3 years later, 2 or 3 years later, I bought, when everybody else was buying, you know, the Apple, Apple II? And,
the Apple II.
And all that kind of stuff. I bought a Macintosh.
You bought the first one then.
I had one of the very first ones. You know how much it cost?
That was probably about three grand.
The computer and the printer cost $4,000.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I was working for a company, and my boss bought it for me because that's the work I needed. I needed it for my work. Anyway, about that same time, the PC was really coming on. IBM had just come out with their PC, and a lot of other stuff was going on. But in all the way through the 80s and the very early 90s, the Macintosh had everybody beat, didn't they?
Well, in some areas, certainly in the graphics area, but not in the business world. Only in the home use, some home use, and mostly in desktop publishing, which was their real.
Which I was doing a good bit of. But there were an awful lot of the new programs that were built for Macs. But then Windows came out. Windows replicated the Macintosh graphics situation, didn't it?
Some of it. It was a graphical interface. They took some of the concepts and have actually taken in them. And every version of Windows subsequent to that, they have taken more and more.
But we all know that during the 90s, Windows basically ruled the world, and Apple almost went out of business. They went down to like 4% of the marketplace.
Well, they're still not not too much more than 6 or 7%, but
making a comeback, aren't they?
Oh, they're making a huge comeback. But the reason
you actually bought a new Macintosh, didn't you?
I just did. I've had a Mac since the days of the first Mac as well, but I've never really used it as a business tool. I've used it just when I needed to look and learn something that I absolutely had to know. Mm-hmm. Now I have one sitting in front of me. I have an Intel-based Mac.
Yeah, this is not the old Motorola-based Mac, is it?
My God, there's no comparison.
This is different,
It's a tower. It's a four-core tower, and I'm running Windows in it with Parallels mm-hmm. Desktop, which mm-hmm. is what they call virtual machine software. And I'm learning the Mac actually intensely this time. I'm really trying to understand why Apple people feel the way they do and why they despise Windows so much. And it's fascinating because I've been using Windows since 90. That's almost mm-hmm. 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there are differences. There are differences.
I was a Mac snob for a long time. All the way through about 2001 or so, 2002, until the Macs that I had. I always had pretty close to the newest version, and they just weren't all that productive online. They were not as productive as the PC online. But when Mac changed over to the Intel processor, that changed everything, didn't it?
Well, it made a big change. First of all, if you're a Windows user and you wanted to switch to Mac, you now have a big enticement because Windows can run almost as fast as it does in a Windows machine in the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe faster. In fact, if you have an old Windows machine and you switch to a new Mac and ran Windows in it, it would be faster.
Right, right. So are we confusing people, though? What do you recommend the average person do, Alan?
Well, you know, it's all depends. If somebody is coming out from scratch, they never had a computer before in their lives, the Mac is probably going to be easier for them. I mean, there is a facade.
But there still are programs out there, Alan, that people haven't developed for Macintosh.
Oh, that's very true. That's very true. But for the average person, they're not going to need anything other than what's available on the Mac.
Isn't it software driven though? Isn't the decision largely software driven?
Oh, Alan? Yeah, absolutely.
Because I mean, if you depending on whatever your world is, whatever world you operate in. When you go out online and you try to find software to solutions, you know, you need to check if it's Mac supported, don't you?
Well, sure, that's the problem. But if you're starting from scratch, you don't have anything to worry about. You don't have any baggage to bring to the table.
Well, but you're going somewhere. You haven't been anywhere, but you're going somewhere. And let me ask you a question. How many people you know are starting from scratch these days?
Not too many.
Stand by. Quick break, 10 till. Right back with Alan Friedman. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and the Brain Trust members and the archives of my shows and articles and the newsletter, the blog, lots of stuff there to help you out. Don't forget you can podcast our shows now. So I hope you take that into consideration. When you show up at my website, just come on in. We'll let you hang out with us. No charge at all. No barrier to entry. And, of course, we have our knowledge base, askjim.biz. We can get small business answers now. Alan Friedman is our guest, and we're talking about computers. Alan, when are we going to not even make a reference to one operating system or the other? How long is that going to be?
I don't know. It may be quite a while, actually.
Has it taken longer than you thought it was going to? 10 years ago, 8 years, 5 years ago, I don't think you would have said that, would you?
Well, you know, the operating system is the start. You can't. Everything has to be in an environment. It has to connect to it. So it's kind of hard to think we're not going to be dealing with that for quite a while.
But didn't we think 5 years ago that we'd find our operating power online?
Well, we thought so. Let's put it this way. The operating system is less relevant as it was 10 years ago. Because you can do essentially online anything on Windows, on the Mac, on even a Linux machine. But as far as it not, as far as you not knowing what machine you have, mm-hmm. I'm sure. Listen, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there. I would say there's probably thousands of people out there that actually don't know what they have. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about people, older people that started with computers a few years ago. And they probably don't know.
What if I've got a business, a small business right now, and I believe that in the next 3 or so years, I'll be going to a server-based environment rather than a peer-to-peer environment between PCs. What do you recommend that they do in that case?
And starting again from scratch?
Well, not necessarily from scratch. No, they've got PCs on their desk right now, but they're thinking about upgrading their PCs, and you're talking to them about you're mentioning that you've just bought a Mac, and in a few years, I can see me moving to a server environment rather than peer to peer. Would you encourage them to? Yeah. Or is there such a thing as a Mac server based environment?
Sure.
There are Mac servers?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are plenty of Mac servers out there.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Most of them are not. Most of them are Linux or Windows, but you know, mm-hmm. there's a small percentage of Mac servers out there for the dedicated Apple people. Absolutely, they
right.
have Blade servers, you know, rack-mounted servers as well, just like all the other vendors do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the hardware is, you know, it's to say that the operating system and the platform is less relevant. It is. It's less relevant, and in time, maybe we'll. Here's the thing. The machines are getting so fast, you can run all of these operating systems simultaneously, and you won't know the difference. And there is a seamless integration going on. So if in 5-10 years from now, it's possible that your computer is most likely going to run all of the operating systems mm-hmm. rather than just one. And
well,
you might not know the difference because it doesn't matter to you.
You have that almost right now with your Mac, don't you?
Well, I'm running Windows under Parallels. I'm going to be running Linux under Parallels, and I'm going to send. Yeah,
but you can't do that on a PC, can you?
What do you mean?
Can't
by
run
a PC?
Mac on, you can't run a Mac on a PC.
No.
You can run PC software on a Mac.
Right.
If you have the new one, but you
right.
can't do the reverse.
Right. Apple does not let you run. They don't sell the operating system separately, and they don't set it up so that you can do that. Absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, more than I think of it when you ask that question, I think that's probably what will happen in 5 to 10 years. You'll be probably running all three operating systems, and there'll be some sort of master program, what they call virtual machine capability, so that you'll be running everything. And then you probably won't even know at what point which application you have. The system might be smart enough to know if you install an application, which operating system it goes to, and then that would be completely seamless.
I think in 5 years or no sooner than 5 years and no farther than maybe 8 or so years, it won't matter what box you buy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think
you'll just buy a box and
I think I'm essentially saying the same thing.
Yeah. Alan, give us the website again, please.
Computerlanguage.com.
Thank you for being here. Happy New Year. Let's have a good 2008 together. What do you think?
Happy New Year to you, too. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Let us definitely do that.
And our best to Irma.
Thank you very much.
Alan Friedman, ladies and gentlemen, as you can tell, he's the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.